when it was given? How did he know what to observe that the mitzvahs were not given? But the Medrash has an expression that somehow he was able to figure out on his own. His kidneys gave him the intuition. He had an intuition. An intuition from what? An intuition from where? So the Mepharshim usually assumes, based on the Midrashim and the opening passage in Bereishis, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in creating the world, first he looked into his Torah. The Torah preceded the world by 2,000 years. That's a Gemara in Sof. Perek Mach Mishanavu, whatever that means. The Torah Kadosh Baruch Hu Malpayim Shana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into his Torah, his Takah Be'araisa, Baras Ha'ilom. All over the Midrashim on the first Pasuk in Bereishis. Write such an expression. The Baba looked into the Torah and he created the world. So if the Torah is the blueprint of the world, so if you look into the world, the Torah should be able to figure out what's written in the blueprint. Children go to school. So at a certain stage in school, they ask them to take a ruler and a pencil and draw a blueprint of their apartment, of their home where they live. The Torah shouldn't be so difficult. You measure all the rooms and then you write it down on a piece of paper. So if the house is built according to the blueprint, but if you look at the house, it shouldn't be so difficult to figure out the blueprint. So if the Rebbe Shlom looked into the Torah before he created the world, so if a person has enough intelligence, he should be able to look into the world and figure out all of the mitzvahs. It's not exactly that easy, but so if you have ployas yoatzos, if you have a little extra sensory intuition, which apparently Avraham Avinu had, so he was able to do that. The Rashi, the opening Rashi in Parshas Tazria, has such a comment also. Omar Rabbi Simloi, he's quoting a Medrash. That not only are the dinim, not only is the mitzvahs of the world in correspondence to the dinim and the Torah, but even the order of the mitzvahs of the world, everything is in the same order. Just like that there is a correspondence, just like what? Which way would you say that? Rashi quotes the Medrash as saying, just like at the time of Bria Shamayim Va'aretz, just like when Hashem created the world, first he created the animals, then he created the human being last. So too, when he gave the dinim and the Torah, according to the Midrashim, it's the reverse, that the Rebbeinu Shlom had the Torah all arranged like that. And he created the world in accordance with the blueprint, in accordance with the Torah. But the Medrash says that there's a parallel, that there is a relationship and there is a parallelism. The Gemara in the beginning of Perek Rav Lezer D'Mila Masechah Shabbos presents a machlokes amaroim regarding the opening sukkim in Parshas Tazria. The pasuk says that the yoledes is tameo either for 7 days or for 14 days, depending whether she had a baby girl or a baby boy. And then if it's a baby boy, then the din is that you have to have a bris mila on the 8th day. Is there necessarily a relationship between the fact that Imo Tameo later, that the mother has Tumas Yoledes for 7 days, and that the Bris Milah is supposed to take place on the 8th day? So the Gemara has a Machlokes Amaroim, because it's not in the same pasuk, it's in two pasukim, one next to the other. So that's called Smuchim. And whether you darshan Smuchim, you just had a Gemara in Sochim, on Daf Kof Ches. Whether you darshan Smuchim only in Tumas Dvorim, or you darshan Smuchim in Talat Arkuda, is a Machlokes Atanoim. So maybe that's the Shaila, how you should pass them. Whatever. The Gemara doesn't spell out exactly what the Shad is. The Gemara says there's a machlekes amaroim. Whether kol she'eini matameo leido, whether he's nima l'shmoina or not. If the baby was not born by a natural process, there was a cesarean delivery, so the Mishnah says in Maseches Nidah that whenever there's a yetzer dofen, so there's no yimei tumah, there's no yimei tara, but the pasuk says b'yolda. B'yolda means the natural, normal way. So if it's a cesarean, then there's no Yimei Tumah, there's no Yimei Tara. So there's a Machlokes Ravina Ravashi, a Machlokes Amaroim in the Gemara, the beginning of Rav Lezer D'Mila, whether the Bris Mila has to occur in such a case on the 8th day of life. It doesn't have to occur on the 8th day, so you can do the Bris Mila the day the baby is born. Nima Lechot, may as well do the Mila right away on the same day. So Halacha L'maisa, how do we paskin? It's a sacred Adina. So we paskin that you're not allowed to do the Mila right away. Maybe it'll be a Mila Tachmaino. Maybe Amilo Totsmano, which you're not permitted to do. So you should really wait till the 8th day. But in the event that the cesarean was on Shabbos, and the Yom HaShemini is going to be on the Shabbos, so it's going to be on the Yom Tov, So you're only permitted to do a bris milah on Shabbos under the milah bisman, the milah shlo bisman. No, so the Mishnah says that it's not derech Shabbos, it's not derech Yontif. So this is a suffix. This may be considered a milah shlo bisman. It could be that you were supposed to have done the milah on the day milah lechet. Could be you were supposed to have done the milah on the same day the baby was delivered in a cesarean delivery. So that's why we pass the suffix that a milah. The Yotzei Doifin is not derech Shabbos, is not derech Yontif. The question is, what about Yontif Sheni Shal Golias? Yontif Sheni Shal Golias is anyway machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh. Whether you're permitted to perform a milah shlo bizmana. The Mishnah only says that Yontif Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to do a milah shlo bizmana on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Well, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is not a speak of the Yomah. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is a Yomah Rishmah, so it's a Yontif. What about every other Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golias? They Pesach, the second day Pesach, the second day Shavuos, and so on, that they don't observe in Eretz Yisrael. So that's because we assume that that's only the Torah's sake of the Yom, it's only a suffering. So maybe here I should consider this a sex sacred. Maybe I should say that that according to some Rishonim, and the Shach passes like that, according to a group of Rishonim, and the Shach falls like that, La'alofi, you can always do a Milah Shal Bizmana. And even though usually we don't follow that opinion, we don't do any Milah Shal Bizmana on Yontif Sheni Shal Golias, but nonetheless, if it's the Yom HaShmini to a Yotzei Doifin delivery, to a cesarean delivery, and one opinion in the Gemara is that that's called a Milah Bizmana, so it should be Doicha Shabbos and Yontif as well. But we're misufik whether we should pass them like that. We don't have a psak, and that machlokes is Ravina Ravashi, we don't have a psak. So that's, in this case, if it's going to turn out that the Yom HaShmini of the Yotzei Doifin will be on the Sheni Shal Golias, so all of the Achronim say that then it is Doifin. Itam Svek Svek, maybe even Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. That's a further question. Maybe you should even do it on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. But if it's not Yom Tov Sheni Rosh Hashanah, every other Yom Tov Sheni Shal Golias, so the Pashto says that you would do the Milah. The only time the milah is not derech Shabbos, based on this drasha, is if it's a yotzei doifin because ein imot mei oleda. Ein imot mei oleda. This is a gemara in the second parak of Chagiga. The gemara has a strange question. The gemara asks, what's the din of a Uberes lekain gadol mahu. I have a strange topic. What's the shalik? Kain gadol is not permitted to marry a behula. So if the girl's a uberes, obviously she's a behula. So what's the shayla? So the shayla is what if the girl claims she was never nivala? So she claims that she became the sabra bambati. So do you have a right to believe her? So she's allowed to marry a kain gadol? She's a psula? Or not, you don't believe him. The Gemara has a strange stuff. So the Rabbeinu Chananel, on that Gemara, has a comment, and he says the suffix in the Gemara is Anafkemina Ladina, if the girl was Nisabra, the Gemara suffix was if Nisabra Bambati. Are you choshish for such a possibility that Nisabra Bambati? So the Rabbeinu Chananel comments on that Gemara that the suffix is whether the Bris Mila is Decha Shabbos or not. Maybe the only time the Gemara is on Yud Dalet on the base. Very strange Gemara. Psula Shibra Mahu Lekan Gadol. So Rabbeinu Hananel comments on that Gemara and says he must have had different gears. He said it's not a Shaila Lekan Gadol, it's a Shaila of Shabbos. Is the Milo Decha Shabbos or not in the case of Miss Abra B'Avati? Because the Ibur, the pregnancy was not normal. The din is that if the delivery was not a regular delivery, if it was a cesarean delivery, so misofik repaskin is not there for Shabbos. As it is machloikis amarayim in the first half in the middle of Ablezin and Milo, where the kosher ain't even to mail aido, whether the Milo is there for Shabbos or not. So that was a machloikis amarayim in the space of the deal. So that's the case where the delivery was an irregular delivery. What if the delivery is normal? Regular baby bounces out like all other babies, but the conception was in an irregular fashion, namely, it was an in vitro conception, or it was in Sabra Bambati. It wasn't a normal fashion of a tashmish with a zohar and a kemah. So So the Rabbeinu Hanan learns that that's the Vaidolite Shita. Misafik, you're not permitted to do the Mila on Shabbos on such a baby. So that's what Dr. Abraham quotes in his Sefer Nishmas Avraham. On Yeridei, he quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach pointed this out, that whenever a woman had such a form of conception that was irregular, so we should be choshish for the Divrei Rabbeinu Hanan, even the Rabbeinu Hanan was pshat, it doesn't fit in with our hearsay. But Taisus always writes a lot, and it's called the bar of Divrei Kabbal. We have to be concerned when the Rabbeinu Hanan says something, because he must have had old traditions. So it's a suffix, a sveikir adina, that maybe such an unusual conception, form of conception, if the baby was born on Shabbos, so the mila should not be Deich HaShabbos. Don't know. That's pretty close, and then Rav Shlomo is on. We don't have that gear set, so we don't know what it is. The Yoledis has to bring special korbanos. The korbanos halosa only brought when it's a normal ledah. Whenever it's a yaitzei daifin, so you don't bring the korbanos. The Beis Hamikdash will be built, so all of those women who had babies before the Beis Hamikdash was around, will have to bring that. Like my wife had nine babies, so she'll have to bring nine sets of korbanos when the Beis Hamikdash will be built. All of the babies were born naturally. Any baby that was a cesarean delivery, so the din is that you don't bring any korbanos. Just like any mitmei later, there's no yimei tumah, there's no yimei tara, so there's no chiyuv to bring korbanos on such a baby either. These korbanos that the Yoledes brings, the Gemara calls mechusri kapara. Mechusri kapara means that this is mashlin the tahara of the Yoledes. The Yoledes is tumeya. So when she goes to mikveh, she becomes tahora for the purposes of eating maizen sheni. You're not permitted to eat maizen sheni in the state of tuma. So tovah v'yolo, as soon as the person is tozel in the mikveh, after the zman is up, after the 7 or the 14 days are up, they're permitted to eat maizen sheni. You're still not permitted to eat truma if she happens to be an eshes koyin, or if you have any person like that, a zava or a metzora or something, you're not permitted to eat truma until he has his hayrach shemesh. And then even after having Harish Shemesh, the person is still a Tful Yom. Here she's a Rashi, where Rashi calls in the Gemara a Tful Yom Orach. She has the status of a Tful Yom for the next 33 days and the next 66 days until she brings her, she has the status of a Tful Yom after she's faithful in the Mikveh for the next 33 days or for the next 66 days until the Malos is up. And then after the Malos is up, then and only then is she permitted to eat Truman. And then even after she's allowed to eat truma, when her 40-day malos is up, or the 80-day malos is up, she's still not allowed to enter the Beis Hamikdash. She'll eat korbanos until she brings her korbanos hayoledes. So the korbanos hayoledes are mashlin the tahara, like the tefillin the mikveh in the first stage of tahara. And the hayrav shemesh, of the 40th day, the 80th day, did accomplish the next stage of tahara, and she's no longer a full yom. So the bringing of her korbanos, the set of korbanos, is the final step in being mashlim of tahara. That's called the mechusri kippurim. So the Gemara has a special din in the dark about the Rabban Hei. The Gemara has a Rabban Hei and the Korbanos. I call Srinam Das mechusri kippurim. Let's say a person has to bring a chatas or an oshem, or he has to bring an ovah, he wants to bring an ovah, he wants to bring a shlamim. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that when the Korbanos are offered on my behalf, it has to be ledaita, it has to be maskim. If I am not in the mood, and I don't want the korbanos to be offered today, so they cannot bring it to Baal Korchi. Let's say I was mafresh the chatos, and then I'm angry for some reason or another. I don't like any of these kohanim. I don't want them to bring my korbanos. So the Gemara says he can't bring the korbanos against my wishes. Or let's say I'm mechuyev a korban chatos, and I want to bring a chatos, but somebody was mafresh without consulting me. But the Gemara says I'll be pashmish, that should be no good. You need das, hakol sichem das, you need das, bala korban. Both b'shas hakdoshe and b'shas hakrovim. The Gemara calls b'shas kapor. Sometimes the Gemara says in the end of the middle of Erechim, sometimes we will apply the principle of zochin le'odam shaloi l'fonon. Sometimes we will say you can be magdish the korban on my behalf, even without consulting me. Sometimes we will allow the other people to be makir the korban on my behalf even without consulting me. The Gemara has a whole machlokes samaroyim. What steps, the hakdasha or the hakrove by an ola, by a chatos, which one do I consider an act of zot norm shlavifon and which one not? But the principle is, leaving out the application of zot norm shlavifon, zot norm is considered as if I had granted das. But in theory and in principle, the halacha says that you have to have das by. Let's say the one on whose behalf is not bar mitzvah. He's not bar mitzvah, so he's not going to bring the chatos and the noshim. But let's say the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam's opinion is that a Baal Shivka Harufa, the Gemara is marvel that even a katan a Baal Shivka Harufa, he still has the name of Shivka Harufa. So the Rambam understands what it means is that the katan, the Baal Shivka Harufa, is obligated to bring the Yosham. The Yosham Shivka Harufa. The Rambam says, what is he talking about? That's impossible. Katan is believed to bring a korban. A katan is a labar onshin. He doesn't need any kapara. Why? Just like you don't give him malchus on misa, he's not believed to bring any other korbanas. He's mechal Shabbos b'shogeg. He eats chayla v'dam b'shogeg. He doesn't have to bring a korban chatas. So why should all of a sudden? Why should we say that a katan abal shivka harufa, that the katan is obligated to bring the osham, the chiddush is that the katan abal shivka harufa, she gets malchus. She gets malchus despite the fact that he's off the hook. He's potem miklum. Nonetheless, the Shivka, whenever Yisrael's Baal Shivka Harufa, she's Loika, and he's Chayiv Malchus. Bikoris Tia. The Gemara ends up in the word Bikoris Tia, Bikroi Tehei, that you recite the Psukim, that you read whenever you give Malchus to a person that didn't have Eretz. So the reciting of the Psukim is because we're going to give Malchus to the Isha, to the Shivka. If she did the Aver amazing, if she did the Aver Shogi, she won't be Chayiv Malchus. But if she did the Aver amazing, then she'll be Chayiv Malchus. The Rambam has that strange sheet. The Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnah, at the beginning of Masechah Shabbos, writes that Chiddush Din, that she, the Shivcha Harufa, gets Malchus, even applies if she sinned b'shogeg. The Sefer Rambam, the Arach HaZoker, the Rambam does not write like that. Just in the first Pirush HaMishnah, Masechah Shabbos, in the opening Mishnah, Masechah Shabbos, the Rambam writes such a strange sheet. That the Din of Shivcha Harufa applies b'im b'shogeg b'im b'meizeh. It doesn't only mean that the boy of Shivcha Harufa is chayv d'oshem b'im b'shogeg b'im b'meizeh. The Shivcha Harufa is loika afilo b'shegeg. Wow. Yet Malchus b'shegeg. That's strange Pirush HaMishnah. So the Pashtus is not so. The Pashtus is she only gets Malchus if she did the Aver Mezer. So that's what the other Pasuk tells me. Even if the boil of the Shivcha Harufa is a cotton, and he's not menash at all, he doesn't get any onus at all. Nonetheless, the Shivcha Harufa is still going to be Chayv Malchus if she did the Aver Mezer. But not to say that the cotton, bein gadol, that the cotton is chayv to bring Hashem Shivcha Harufa, that's the Ravitz Hasog on the Rambam. But the Rambam understood that the cotton of all Shivcha Harufa is chayv, you understood that that's what the Pasuk tells you. The cotton is chayv to bring an Oshem. So then the Rambam adds on quickly, but he can't bring the Oshem because money's a cotton. You have to wait till he becomes a bar mitzvah, because Hakal Tzichum Das. The Halacha says that no korban can be offered on behalf of a person unless it's midaito. So cotton is always a lot by das. He cannot bring any korban. So the Gemara says in the Dorm on that one hand base that all the korbanos of Pusi Kapara are exceptions to that rule. Hakot Zivim Das put in Pusi Kapara. Pusi Kapara is by Zav Zavi Yoledis and Mitzora. These four Tmeyim require Hakrovis korbanos to be mashlin the Tahari. That until they bring the korbanos, they're still considered Tmeyim Legabi Bias Migdosh or Legabi Achilas Kotchim. When you do bring the korbanos, then the tahara gemur. So those korbanos, to be mashlim for the purpose of mashlim tahara, do not require das. That's what the Gemara says. Shekein ode maybe korbanoi is al banav of nosav hakpanim. Let's say a parent has a child who became a zavar or zavar, and then he became tahara. The condition was cleared up. So the child is the hakot, and he's allowed by das. Can the father be mashlim korbanos and makrav the korbanos on behalf of the child? These are real korbanos, chatos and noivo by the zav and the zav. So the Gemara says, yes. The Gemara comes back and says that yes. She came other maybe korbanos are born of nose of haktanim if they happen to become zav, zavar, or metzora. Or let's say Yoledes obviously is not a ktana, she's a third, but let's say Ishto. A man is married to a woman, and the woman is nuts. Ishtatis. The woman is meshuvia, but she's still married. She's giving. She had babies. So when a woman is nishtatis, she has a baby. Can a husband bring the korban hayoledes on behalf of his wife to be going with the tahara? So she can push him. She doesn't know what's going on. He'll push him into the mikveh. So she becomes tahara. and then he'll wait till Harris Shemesh will become Tahara stage number two. Then he'll be going to the Tahara stage number three to bring the Karbanos on her behalf. So the Gemara says, yes. Shekain, the husband can bring Karbanos on Lishto Shoto. If the wife is the Yoledes, the husband can bring Karbanos. Why? Because these are Karbanos and Mechusir Kapora. Mechusir Kapora, the Zav Zav, the Zav Zav, the Yoledes and Mitzora, these are Karbanos and Mechusir Kapora. So there's no need for Das. Because the Mishnah asks the Kasha on the Rambam quotes the din of Muflas Tamach Liyish, who takes a Ned and Naziris. So the din is that that the Neder is binding, and after the Melos is up, Muflas Tamach Liyish means a year before Bar Mitzvah. So after the month of Naziris is up, the Rambam writes, the kid has to bring the Karbanos. And it sounds like you bring the Karbanos now, when the kid is still before Bar Mitzvah. So because Mishnah asks, how can it be? Before Bar Mitzvah, the Rambam writes explicitly by the Shivcha Harufa that even if you have an instance where a katan is mechuyev to bring karbanas, but a katan can become mechuyev to bring karbanas according to the Rambam, but he can't do the actual hakrovas hakarbanas until after he becomes a gadol, because hakatzichim das. So how can the Rambam write all of a sudden over here, by the mukla some of the yish, when the malos of the naziris is up, so you bring the karbanas right away? How can it be? But it's not hakatan. Unless he say, that's what the Kesef Mishnah suggests, unless he say that the Mufla Samach Liyish is a Bardaz Menegeetu and Yani Haflov and Menegeetu and Yani Nidorm, so he's a Bardaz Menegeetu Hakrovus Karbonus also. Maybe that principle, Hakl, Srichim Das, all Karbonus that are offered on behalf of a person, required that it should be offered Yakov also Menezono, with Daito, you have to have a Bardaz, maybe it's enough to be a Bardaz for Yani Haflov. Maybe it doesn't have to be such a badass for Kol HaTakot. Maybe Mufla Samach Liyish, the Rambam's opinion is that Mufla Samach Liyish is the Raisa, it's Machlokes HaTanoim, and the Machlokes, the Rambam, the Raisa had a pass, whether that, you know, Mufla Samach Liyish, whether that's the Raisa, the Rambam. So the Rambam happens to hold, if I'm not mistaken, that it's a Din, the Raisa, so therefore it's possible to say that once he's a Mufla Samach Liyish, he's a badass with respect to Hakol Tzrichim Das. You don't have to have a badass from Hakol HaMemka. Or you have to have the badas for the ability to be magdish in order to be able to be makdish the korban on his behalf. That's how the Kesef Mishnah suggests on the side of the Rambam and Hilchas Naziris. They quote the Shem Rab Chaim and Pi Ashmua, they quote a different answer. Rab Chaim said simple, just like the Gemara says in the Dorim, Hakot Tzichav Das Chutz Men Mechutz Rikapara, that these four, Mechutz Rikapara, Zav, Zavi, Yaledis, and Mitzorah, so the Gemara says they're a Nazir, that the korbanos of a Nazir are also Mechutz Rikapara. It's not the same kind of Mechus, it's the beginning of the first Mishnah and the first Gemara Perek Abba Mechus Kapar, the second Perek and the Sif the Krisis. Why is Mechus Kapar? It's not Mechus Kapar in the sense that the Karbonos of the Nazirat Mashlim the Tahara, the Nazir was not Nitmo. He doesn't have to have any Hashlamas Tahara at all. He doesn't need any Mikvah, he doesn't need any Har Shemesh. He is Torah. But it's a Mechus Kapar in the sense that the Karbonos are not going to Kapar, the Karbonos are going to serve as a Matir. The person is a Nazir, so the Torah says Kaddish Yiyah. So the Ikar Adin, one is on a Madrega of Kedusha, should be, we should demand of him that he should maintain that level of Kedusha for the rest of his life. He shouldn't go down a lower Madrega. And that's what happened with Shimshon. Shimshon was on a, was a Nazir for all of his life. That's why he's called Nazir Elikim Yiyana. Some of them come to that. Why is he called Nazir Elikim as opposed to the Nazir described in the Chumash and Parshas Nazir? It's called the Nazir Hashem. Because the Nazal Hashem, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the Midas HaRachman, the Midas HaChesed, and Elokim is Midas HaDin. So the Midas HaDin dictates that whoever becomes a Nazir should remain a Nazir for the rest of his life. The Taka Shimshon was the Nazir Elokim, according to the Midas HaDin. He was a Nazir, he became a Nazir, and then he remained a Nazir for all of his life. The Nazir described in the Chumash, the Torah gives him a break, that we allow him to bring Karbanos to terminate the Nazir. Because when he doesn't bring the Karbanos, he doesn't have the Matir. He's not allowed to end the Nazir. But after this man is up, and then he brings the Karbanos, and the Karbanos are mati him, Baha Yishtar Nazir Yayin. If he brings the Karbanos, then he's muted to drink the wine, then he's muted to come in the mason, then he's muted to be Migaleach, and so on. So that's the nature of the Karbanos are Nazir. The Gemara says like that. The Karbanos are Nazir are, in order to be mati him, to violate Yisuri Nazirus. Even if he's a Nazir Tomei, he has to bring special Karbanos, and the Gemara says also, he's not mati him anything, that's also a matir. It's not to him, Lamechal Alei Naziris Tahara. It's not to him that now the period of Tumah is over. It's not for Kapara. Even though it says that the Korbanos of the Nazir Tomei are for the purpose of Ashachot Ala Nefesh, sounds like it's for Kapara, for having been the Tamil Ameis, so the Gemara understands it otherwise. Ashachat al HaNefesh does mean for a kapara, for the fact that it became nitma lameis. It's lemechal alayim nazirus taharahu. It's also a matir, that this is completed, the period of nazirus v'tum is completed. It can be a spot in nazirus taharahu. That's what Chaim suggested. The Gemara had a discussion that maybe I should call karbanas on nazirus, karbanas mechus kapara. So one Tana says, no, you don't call mechus kapara, because it doesn't belong to the same category as Zav Zavi or Ledes and Mitzorah, because the Nazir is not Tomei, that's why. But in Din, he's masking that it's a similar type of a carbon. It's a carbon that serves the function of being a Matir. So whenever the carbon is a Matir or a Metahir, like a Lid Mechus Kapar, then the Gemara says, Ein Tzrichim Das, they can even be Matir of the carbon, it's on behalf of the carbon. That's how they quote B'Shem Achai, to answer the Kesh Mishnah's Kashan, not the way the Kesh Mishnah answered it. By saying that he's a muklos samichliyish, maybe that's sufficient. Maybe all you need is a bardas for purposes of hakdasha, of hakrova. But rather, maybe this is considered a mechusi kapar, as the Mishnah suggests in the beginning of the second parak in Preces, that the korbanos of a nazir should be considered korbanos mechusi kapar. They quote b'shem Rav Chaim. That the Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi. The Rambam in Hilchos, when he brings all these korbanos, Hilchos Kapar. So the Rambam quotes a Chiddush Din from the Yerushalmi, that if a woman had a baby, and then it's already years later, she had 9 babies already. The last baby was just born 2 weeks ago. And she wants to send to the Beis HaMikdash all of the korbanos for the first 8 babies. And then when the 40 days or the 80 days will be up from the last baby, then she bring Ubin Los, Yimei Tahara, Tavi, Kedesh, Manshnas, Uliyala, Benyona, Torah, Chakos, that she'll bring those korbanos at the end of this Malos. But it's already years after, the first babies are already big children. So she wants to bring the first eight sets of korbanos. So the Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi that you can't do that. You can't bring the korbanos Tocha Malos. The Mishnah says in the end, the Rambam learns Pshat in the Mishnah, in the end of Zvachim, in the Mishnah. If the Yoledes, the Mishnah goes like this, the last parak in Zohar is Hashefet HaMalot. That if you do Shchut Echutz, if you do Malabah Chutz, let's say one person shechts the Korban Chutz Lamigdush, he's Chayv Koris. And if you shechted the Korban, one guy shechts the Korban Chutz Lamigdush, and the other person does the Hakrov Chutz Lamigdush, he burns it on, he makes an altar, he makes a Bama, Chutz Lamigdush, makes his Mizbeach, and he burns it, so he's also Chayv Koris. That's Hashefet HaMalot, two parshias. Hashechet Amal and Parshas and more. The two different Parshas, one next to the other. Shkutechut and Maktabachut, Malabachut. So the Mishnah has a cloud based on the Pesukim Mechudas. The only time you chayv Koreis, Hashechet Amalabachut is if the korban that you were Shechet Amalabachut is very low of Pesach Almoy. So that's the Lashon HaKosah. But Pesach Almoy, Lohediyo, then it says it is chayv Koreis. If the korban was Ben Kovakot, korban that was possible, it was a Balmum anyway, there was some kind of a Pesul anyway, you couldn't have been Makrib it anyway in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not right love al Pesach Almoy. So then if you do Shechet Bachutz and Malah Bachutz, then you're not going to be Chayv Koreis. So the Mishnah discusses what if the carbon is not right love al Pesach Almoy because it's Tech Shmoneh Yamim. It's not even 8 days old yet. So it's a carbon Mechusas Man. If the carbon is a Mechusas Man and you bring it, then Beis HaMikdash is going to be puzzled to the other. It won't be accepted. So therefore, if you Shechet Bachutz and Mikdash, it won't be Chayv Koreis. You know, a lot of Shechet Bachutz and Mikdash, you're wasting a carbon. You're ruining the carbon. You should wait till the 8th day. But if you did it, so that you wouldn't be chayv koreis of shchut echutz, because ben kovakot is not kosher. Or any other forms, for that matter, any other forms of mechutz is not. So the Mishnah has the following. What if the woman is a yoledes, and the 40 or the 80 days of the malos are not up yet, and the yoledes is supposed to bring a chatos and an olo? What if she brings the carbon chatos, she brings the korbanos yoledes, toch hamalos? So, chutz lamigdash. Would you be chayiv koreis because of shkut echutz and malabachutz and these korbanos are not? So this is a function of whether it's roi lov al pesach almoed. If you were to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash, would it be kosher? So the Mishnah draws a contrast between the chatos of the oledes and the olo. The chatos, if you bring it in the Pesach Man, is not accepted. It's possible. So if you bring it in chutz lamigdash, it's not chayiv koreis because it's not roi lov al pesach almoed. But the olas of your ladas, if you bring it to Hamalos, would be kosher. And olas bo ben edrin adov, a chattis is not bo ben edrin adov. You can only bring a chattis when you mechuyif. She's on mechuyif at the end of the Malos, uben Malos he made to her. If she brings it to Hamalos, she's not yoyti with the chattis. And a chattis is not bo ben edrin adov. So that's why the chattis, if it's brought to Hamalos, is not very long ago, Pesach Amor, so you're not quite correct if you do Shkute Chuyf. But on the Ola, so the Mishnah says the Ola would be kosher to the Yevon if you bring it to Hamalot. So therefore, if you shecht it, it's not Mikdosh, it's not Kores, because of Shechet Bakus. That's the Mishnah. So the Rambam writes, those are the Pirush and Mishnah, he's out of the Yara Chazok, and what does that mean? And if you bring the Ola, so you're right, it's to Hamalot, it's kosher to the Yevon. Kosher like a regular Ola, but you'll have to bring another Ola, so you'll let us Lach Hamalot. So Ola is Bob and Ender in the Gomer. But does the Mishnah even mean to say a bigger and a bigger? A bigger and a better Kiddush than that. Maybe the Mishnah means to say that she's Yotzei. That she's Yotzei Yidechai Vosso. With the Oilas Yoledes. She's normally not Yotzei, the Chatos Yoledes, if she brings it to Hamalos. But the Oilas Yoledes, she can't be Yotzei. So the Rambam learns like that. I don't know what the heck it was. How does the Rambam know that that's Shah in the Mishnah? Pashat Shah in the Mishnah is certainly not so. Pashat Shah just means the Oilas Yoledes, if you'll bring it to Hamalos, you won't be Yotzei anything as far as a Chiyuve Korbanus, the Torah Yoledes is concerned. Because you only can begin to bring those karbanos after the malos is all over, but the ola will be kosher. It will be a kosher ola. And I those bav and adur and dav. So if you shech the chutz lamikdash, you'll be chayv mishum shut chutz. Because b'niyevet it would have been miskabel pesach hamoed. It would have been kosher. But it doesn't necessarily have to mean you don't have to read the mishnah to say that she's yotzei. So now the Rambam. So the Rambam had a chiddush. He understood that you brought the ola shalay to tamal malos. You're yotzei. You don't have to repeat it, just the chatos is not kosher if it's brought to Hamalot. So the Rambam quotes this Yerushalmi that says the woman had 9 babies and she just had her last baby 2 weeks ago. So whether it's a Zohar or an Akeva, she's still Toch Hamalot. Hamalot is not going to be over until 40 days or 80 days, depending whether it's a boy or a girl. Now she brings the karbonos that she was looking for the first 8 babies. Not bringing the karbonos she was looking for this baby. She's going to wait until the Hamalot is up. She brings the karbonos she was looking for the first baby. So the Rambam says, he quotes the Yerushalmi. The Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi. Chatos Yoledes cannot be brought toch malos. Period. Not only toch malos of baby number one, the karbanos for baby number two can't be brought toch malos of baby number two. The karbanos of baby number three can't be brought toch malos of baby number three. You can't even bring the karbanos of baby number one through eight toch malos of baby number nine. Why not? Why not? What has baby number 9 got to do with the first 8 babies? And if she would have stopped at baby number 8, there would never have been any baby number 9. She could have brought the karbanos now. So just because she had another baby, so she can't bring the karbanos, but the first 8 babies tell Hamalot. So that's why Chaim is Mazir. Shat and this din in the Rambam. The Rambam just quoting out Yerushalmi. The purpose of the karbanos is to serve as Mechusir Kapara. Mechusir Kapara means to be mashlim the tahara. If she's going to bring the karbanos in the middle of the malos, it can't be mashlim the tahara. So the karbanos are not shy. It means the chatos yoledes. The Rambam holds the olos yoledes can be brought even baby number 9. You can bring the olos yoledes toch hamalos and b'riyevet it will be good. But the Rambam, obviously the medubra over here is if you bring the chatos yoledes for the first 8 babies, toch hamalos of the 9th baby, so it's no good. Why? The only time you can bring a chatos yoledes is when it can serve as a mechusir kapara, when it can serve as the goymer of the tahara. But toch hamalos, it will never serve as the goymer of the tahara. Why not? Let it serve as the goymer of the tahara from the first 8 babies. Still, it's goymer of the tahara from the first 8 babies, so she'll have the same tumah from the 9th baby, but that's a different tumah. That the tumah for the 9th baby shall have, but the tumah for the first 8 babies will be off. So why can't you say that it'll be going with the chatos yoledes brought in the middle of the malos of the 9th baby, will be going with the tahara from the first 8 babies? What's so bad about that? So obviously the Yerushalmi thinks that there's a problem here of tovel v'sheretz v'yodai. Tovel v'sheretz v'yodai is an expression that the Chachamim have, Rashi has it, at the end of Parsha Shmini. That if a person is tovel in the mikveh and is still holding on to the sheretz, and he comes out of the mikveh still holding on to the sheretz, so he's still tameh. So the question is, why is he still tameh? So you can learn two pshat and tovel the sheretz biyad. You can learn pshat. When you're tovel in the mikveh, he apparently he's holding on to the sheretz in such a way that it does not constitute a chatzis. He's still touching the sheretz, but there's still water in between his finger and the sheretz. So when he's tovel in the mikveh, still holding on to the sheretz, so maybe the pshat is that the tumah that he had from before, from the fact that he touched the sheretz 10 minutes ago, that tumah is takapoka. When he comes out of the mikveh, the was chal. But the fact that he's still holding on to the sheretz, that's re-metameh him, anu, that serves as anu-metameh. Or maybe I should say pshat not so. Maybe Tavol the Sheretz Diyar means that the fact that you're still holding on to the Sheretz prevents the Tvila, the Mikvah, from being Chal at all. It's not that the Tvila was Mitahe the first level, the first Tumah that had come before, and now there's a new Tumah that's Chal. That's the Shaila. What's the nature of the Din of Tavol the Sheretz Diyar? On the last daf of Maseches of Elizoret, Tosfos quotes one opinion that we don't pass the mic. Tosfos quotes one opinion in connection with the din of the Gemara. The Gemara has, the Mishnah has a din. If I buy used silverware, or if I buy used pots and pans from a goy, and the goy used it for trade for food, bishalakim, even the kosher trade, it was cooking food, so that made it bishalakim. So the din is that I have to do hagola. And then after you do the Haggadah, after you kasher it and you move the traitors, then you have a mitzvah to do Tfilas Kelim. What if I will reverse the order? What if first I'll do the Tfilas Kelim and then I'll do the Haggadah? So we pass him to the Ebed, it's okay. If you reverse the order, it's okay. There's one opinion in Tesis that it's not acceptable, because that's called Tevel the Sheretz the other. How can you say Tevel in the Mikvah if it's still a traitor plea? So it would even be Likuvah, that if you were Tevel it first and then you kashered it, we would require that you should be Tevel it again with the Brach. We don't pass them like that at all. We pass them that to the Yevid. You don't have to be Tagler again at all, even believe Rav. It's not even a Sadiq by us, but there's one such opinion in Taisus. So that opinion in Taisus clearly does not mean to say that whenever you Tagler the Sheretz Diyar, the Tefillah accomplishes Taharik or whatever was in the past, but the fact that it's still Sheretz Diyar is Mitamayu anew. Over here, if you would Tagler the Kli that you brought from the Goy, if you're going to say that the Tefillah was also Goy, but the fact that it still shares the yodai poses a new problem. So what's the new problem? That it's trait. So you're kasher the traitors? So you're kasher the traitors. So how can you say, how in the world can you figure out that you need a new tefilas kelim? So obviously this day in Tesis is of the opinion that tevel the shares the yodai, the fact that you're still holding on to the sheres, that prevents you from having the tahara chal in the first place. The food is not chal at all. A group of rishonim hold like that. When you learn the gila, that ches. The Iri has a comment on the Rashi there. Rashi has a comment. The Iri has a long Arichas Dvarim over there. So it's a major machlokes in the Rishonim. How do you understand the principle of Tevel the Sheretz Diyodai that Rashi quoted from the Torah's Kohanim at the end of Parsha Shmini? One is Tevel the Sheretz Diyodai, that the fact that the Sheretz Diyodai prevents the Tzvila from being Mitaya of anything, so it's as if Gilu Loi Tovah Lano. The Tzvila was also Lao. But after the Tzvila was also Lao, then he's still holding on to the Sheretz. He has a new Mitame. The Gemara, that's the Machlokes HaRishonim. So that's what Rav Chaim points out, that this Yerushalmi, which is happens to be quoted by the Rambam, this, the writer says he doesn't know what the Rambam was talking about, but the Rambam just quoted by Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi holds the Perush like that. This idea that Tevel the Sheretz Diyodai, the fact that he's going after the Sheretz, prevents the Tzvila from being Oila at all. Not that it's Oila and the Kamala Habba, there's a continued Mitame. It's not Oila at all. That's why the Rambam says the Avedas cannot even bring the karbanis for the first 8 babies in the middle of the malos of the 9th baby. Because that's a tchin of tev of the sheretz the other. Even though you say, but she wants to shake off the tumor from the first 8 babies, so she'll only have the tumor from the 9th baby, it does not pinch now. It's a sheretz the other that prevents the tefillah from being other. It's a mefurish Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi doesn't spell out the svar, Yerushalmi just spells out a whole bunch of dinim, and the only way to understand it is like this. This is what they printed b'shem Rav Chaim. Rav Shimon Shkap has this in the Shari Yosha. Has the whole Shtigl Torah in the Shari Yosha. He has it based on, he has a discussion on a mission at the end of the second Torah in Brachos about a Tfilah of Balkari. Ezra made a takana that a Balkari has to go to Mikvah before he wants to learn or before he wants to daven. Good, so let him go to Mikvah. The Shabbos, what if the Balkari happens also to be a Zav? So if he's going to be Tevel in the Mikvah, what do you mean? He got rid of the Tumas Balkari. He has a bigger Tumas. And the din is that only a Balkari is not allowed to learn a Zav until he goes to Mikvah. Zav, they never made a Takana. Zav, Metzorah, any other Tumah, they never made a Takana. Only Tumah's Balkari. So the question is, does it make sense to say that the Balkari should be Tevel in the Mikvah? If Ben Kavakol, he's going to be Tumah, a bigger Tumah. Maybe it's called Tevel the Sheretz B'Yadai, so the Tevel is not even able for the Tumah's Balkari. So that's a Machloekes Satanoim. But Rav Shimon Shkap has this long Arichas where he shows that the Rambam quotes this Yerushalmi. It's a B'fei Yerushalmi in Shavuos, in Aser Shavuos, when the Yerushalmi, when the Mishnais in Shavuos talk about a Tomei Shenichnas LaMikdash. The Yerushalmi talks about what if he was Tevel, but he was Tevel at a time that he had another level of Tumah, is he still called a Tomei that he's not allowed to enter the Mikdash or not? So the Yerushalmi has this. So that's the pshat that they quote the Shem Rav Chaim. Rav Shimon Shkap used to listen to the Shurim of Rav Chaim of Volozhin. He was younger, a little younger than Rav Chaim.
lot younger than her.
The Gemara Megillah is a very interesting thing. The Gemara Megillah comments on the pasuk at the end of Parshas Metzora. The Chiyita hat Zav Bizovo V'Slofa Lo Shilas Yomim. When the Zav and the Zovo become cured, the Ziva is a disease. It's a lowest nidos. The Ziva is abnormal by woman and the Ziva is abnormal by man. It's a sickness. If the Ziva is due to eating spicy foods, or due to some movies that he saw, or due to too much exercise that he did, or due to a sickness, and then the Mishnah says that he doesn't have a Tumah Ziva, it'll only be a Balkari. When the Ziva comes out, it'll only make him into a Balkari, won't make him into a Zav. That's the Mishnah that Mark quotes in the first Daf in Kiddushin. The Shiva Drachim both came as a Zav. You have to check the Zav to make sure that he's really a Zav. Maybe he's not a Zav. Maybe the Riyas HaZiva only makes him into a Tumah Balkari. So if it's only due to some exercise or some sickness or some hirhurim or some acholim that he had, that will not be goring to maziva. Only if it's due to some sickness, some kind of imbalance in the body. So that's the same by a zav and by a zav. By a zav is low as nidos, so it's an abnormal thing. By the zav, it's also due to some sickness. So when they complete, when their disease is all over, they cure it, then it doesn't have to count shivinikin. The sofagot, that's the question, whether they have to count hakasphira, the pet. You know that there's a mitzvah of Sfira Salim, but what about by Shiva Nikim? Do the Zav and the Zav have to count Sfira the Peh Shiva Nikim? That's the Shalom HaKodesh. As a Chumrah, that the Zav and the Zav, a woman who's married is counting Shiva Nikim before she goes to Mikveh. Every day she has to say, Hayom Yom Echad V'Shiva Nikim. Hayom Shnei Yomim V'Shiva Nikim. She has to make a Sfira the Peh. And he says it based on her thesis. The Shalom says it based on her thesis in Tzubas, and that's why based on her Aleh. So the Tesis is bothered with the Kasha, just like we said Bracha before we count Sira Sa'omer. So why don't the Zav and the Zav say Bracha before they count the Shiva Nikim? So the simple reading of the Tesis is that they should say Asher Kedushan and Mitzvahs Mitzvah and Asfira Shiva Nikim. They should say Hayom Yom Echad V'Shiva Nikim, Hayom Shnei Yom, the same parallel to Sira Sa'omer. It should be the same. So Tesis gives an answer. Instead of answering that the whole thing is wrong, you're making a mistake, the Sira Shiva Nikim doesn't require Sira of the Peh, Tesis says the kasha is a good kasha. The answer is you don't say a bracha because she has a tear of it histor. If the zava de zava will have a ria ziva in the middle of the shiva nikim, then you're going to have to start counting all over again. Then it's going to turn out that you weren't yaitse with the first couple of days of counting shiva nikim that you started before you had the spirit. So since it's a suffix that Shem Atira Vitiska, or maybe the Zav will be Soysa in the middle, maybe he'll have a Zivra, and it'll be Soysa the Shivnikim, and have to start counting all over. So it's like a suffix Brachas Lahalka. The only time you say a Bracha on a mitzvah is if you know for sure that you're performing the mitzvah. But you may count 6 days, and then the seventh day will have a Riyah Zivra. You have to start counting all over again all the 7 days. So since it's a suffix, so you don't say a Bracha. So that's what the Shalom said. You see from Pesach Kasha and from Pesach Teretz that they hold that it is parallel. The sphere of Simon, that you have to have sphere of Bipet. You have to have Sphere of the Pet. Nobody before or after ever heard of such an idea that you have to have Sphere of the Pet. The Pashto says that it's certainly not so. That's what the Hasam Sofer made a comment. The Hasam Sofer, the Rebbe Yehuda. The Rebbe Yehuda made a comment on the Shalom. But this the Tshuva quotes in the other day. And the Yehuda made a comment on the Shalom that it was such a holy tzaddik and he loved Mitzvah so much. So the Pasuk says in Kohelis, Oyv Kester. Lo yitbakes, if a person who loves money will never be satisfied. However much money he has, the Jeshu Lamana wrote from the sun. He has $100, he wants $200. He has $1 million, he wants $2 million. He has $2 million, he wants $5 million. He always wants more. So the Medrash Rabba comments on that passage, just like Oyev Kesev. Oyev Kesev, so too. Oyev Mitzvos, Lo Yizbah Mitzvos. A person who loves mitzvos will never be satisfied. With all the mitzvos that he have, will always be running for more mitzvos. And the Medrash says there, Moshe Rabbeinu, that he loved to do mitzvos and he was always running to do more mitzvos. So that's what the Rebbe Yehuda writes on the Shalom HaKadosh, Oyev Mitzvahs, Lo'izma Mitzvahs. He loved doing mitzvahs so much, he was never satisfied. They had an event, another couple of mitzvahs. They made up a new mitzvah. Asfira Shiva Nikim, he says, there never was such a mitzvah, there never will be such a mitzvah. It's not true. When it says, V'sofa Lo Shiva Seyam, just Misha Tamtin. They should wait 7 days. It doesn't mean Sfira with them. I go to Taisus Kasha. Taisus has the Kasha, you should say a bracha when you count Shiva Nikim. I don't remember exactly what the Rebbe Yehuda says. I remember Rav Soloveitchik commented on the Taisus. He said, Taisus didn't mean to say you should say a bracha before you do a sphere of the Peh. What does it mean, V'safa lo shivas yamim, by the Zav, by the Zav? It means that they should do bedikas. They should take a cloth and put it on the aver where the Ziva is coming out from the sea, on the first day, on the second, on the third day, and the Chatzin do bedikas every day. to see whether there's Zuva today or whether it's a Yarnaki. So that was Tesis Kasha. You should say the bracha over Lasi Yosem before you're about to do the Sphira. What does the Sphira mean? The Bedikin. It doesn't mean Sphira of the Pet. Whatever the word Sphira means, you should say the bracha before. Before you're about to do the Bedikin, you should say the bracha. So that's what Tesis answers. No, I'm not going to say a bracha over Lasi Yosem. It may turn out that it's Tameh today. Not only may turn out I'll count 6 days and then I'll get all messed up on the list. It may turn out it'll be Tameh today. How do I know what's going to happen in advance? You want me to say the bracha over Lasi Yosem, then the Isha is going to take the Beged and make it bedikas, and they turn out that it's no good today. So that's a sophic bracha. That's what Taisa's answer. By serious, I mean, you know what you're counting. No shy. Today's the 18th day of Sphira. But when it comes to bedikas, shivani kin, it may turn out that the person is stoned. Pardon me? After. Okay. Maybe she'll be serious on the 7th day. Still going to be a sophic. Okay.
So isn't the bracha on the bedika, wasn't it? Isn't the bracha on the bedika?
On the bedikah that leads up to Tahara. A bedikah that leads up to Tahara. On Bedikah's Chomet, the bracha is on the bedikah whether you win or you lose, whether you find Chomet or you don't find Chomet. Some poskim say the bracha hamapil is on being drowsy, chedle shena. Whether you fall asleep or you don't fall asleep, it's not going to be a bracha about Torah. The bracha was niskina over chedle shena. If you're drowsy, so when the person is drowsy, so then he says the bracha hamapil. But over here, the bracha is on such a bedikah that's going to lead up to tahara. Shem etir v'tista, so it will turn out that it didn't lead up to any tahara at all. And then it turns out that there was no mitzvah. So the Gemara has such a statement in the first parak in Megillah, Daf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, V'sofa lo, v'chiyita azav mizavo, v'sofa lo shiva sema v'achayita. It says, V'sofa, v'chiyita azav mizavo, mizavo v'lo minigo. The Torah's Kaanim has a drush on that passage, mizavo, the lowly nigwa means like this: if the person who is a zav happened to also have another machla, he happened to have a mega tzaras on top of the ziv, he happens to be a mitzvah, and he got rid of it ziva, but he still has the mega tzaras on him. So the Torah Kahanim darshins, this doesn't bother me. The chiyitr azav is over when the ziv of the ziva is over. So let him count the shivnikim, mizavo v'lami nigo, even though he didn't get rid of the negat saras. So what? So let him chatz get rid of the tumas ha-ziva. So what does that mean? B'chiyit ha-razah mizavo, that you can count shivnikim, that you can count the shivnikim that are needed after the ziva goes away, even though the person is still going to be tamei after the shivnikim are up. He's still going to be tamei, a bigger tumah. A bigger tumah, namely tumas tzorah. So the tzorah is a bigger tumah. There are three levels of tumah. There's some tumahim who, let's say, a tumah mace, a tumah who touched the sheriff. That's a tumas maga. He's only prohibited to enter into the machnishkin, into the azorah. Then you have a tumah yotzal migufay, who's forbidden to enter the whole harabais. But tumah yotzal migufay, you have zav zova, nidu yaledis and tzorah. All five of those are tumah yotzal migufay. They're not allowed to enter the whole harabais. Then you have third level of tumah, namely the mitzorah. He's the highest level of tumah. He's not even allowed to enter Yerushalayim or any of the other ayores hamkavuskan or shulgenut, because they all have a special kedushas ayores hamkavuskan. It's a higher level of tumah. So even though they both have one thing in common, the zav and the mitzorah are both tumah yotzal migufoy, and they're both mukhusir kapara. When it comes to the end, they both have the good kapara to be mashed in the tahara. But still, the mitzorah is considered a higher level of tumah than the zav. Because he's even mishtaleh chutz le machni Yisroch, he's not allowed to be anywhere in Yerushalayim or Gayoros HaMikotas Chan Moshe Shur Benun. So nonetheless, even though the Mitzorah has a higher level of Tumah, the Brisa says, V'chiyit ha-razah mizavah, mizavah v'lo minigo. He can count the Shiva Nikiyim for the Zivah in order to lead up the Tahara, even though he's still going to remain at Tomei Mitzorah after the whole thing is all over. So the question is, when it says there, V'chiyit ha-razah mizavah, mizavah v'lo minigo, and he counts the Shiva Nikiyim for the Tahara, even though he's still a mitzvah, what about being tevil in the mikveh? He can be tevil also? Or that's not? All the price he needs to say is that he can count Shiva Nikiyim, despite the fact that he's still a mitzvah? Or the price he needs to say that he can be tevil in the mikveh? So that's the big machloikis harishayim, the Rashi within the Iri, I'm a giver, that ches saman aleph. When it says, v'chitarazah mizavah, mizavah v'amunigo, can he even be tevil? So the Iri quotes that a group of rishayim are of the opinion that that's called tevil v'sher v'yodah. How can you say that he's tevil for the tumas hazivo if he has a bigger tumor of tumas taras upon him? So if you would have lump shot that tevil v'sheres biyada means that the tefila is oila for the first tumor, and now he has a new level of tumor, So you wouldn't be able to say the tefillah is over for the first tumah ziva, now he has the other tumah of mitzvah, but he wouldn't have any longer the tumah saziva. But that would be against these mishnayim. These mishnayim say that because of the fact that he has the bigger tumah of tzaras, he can't even shake off the tumah ziva from him. There are certain detail halachas where the zav is more common than the mitzvah. In principle, the mitzvah is more common than the zav. But there are certain details when you get the Mishkan of Moshe, where the Zav, Tosfos points out that the Zav has a slightly higher level of Tumah than the Mitzvah. So the Zav is interested, Yitzhak Hazan Zav is interested in being Tumah in the Mikveh to get rid of the Tumas HaZivah, even though he will still be burdened down with the Tumas HaMitzvah. So one opinion of the Miri, Yamdab Chesam and Alvim Kila, he can't do that because of Tavul HaShazah. So he clearly is saying, this group of Rishonim are clearly saying Tavul HaShazah means it prevents the Tefillah from being Chal. That's like that Yerushalmi and Shavuos that the Shari Yoshe quoted, that the Chaim quoted, that the Raman quoted La'alochem, that the Yerushalmi hold like that, that Tevel Vishalat Gyor prevents the whole Tumah, prevents the whole Tzvila from being Chal.
Like this, the letters go from the laws, there's the Kabbalah that are
Well, the Gemara says that these Karbanos of the Oledes, the Gemara at the end of the first parak increases, compares the Karbanos of the Oledes to a Tefillah of the Mikveh, because the purpose of the Karbanos is to be joined with the Tahara, to be mashed with the Tahara. That's why it's called Mechusi Kapar, to be joined with the Tahara. So the Yerushalmi calls that a Pechina of Tevel V'Sher Tiyad, even though she's bringing the Karbanos for the first 8 babies, but she brings it in the middle of the Melos on the 9th baby, and it can't be going to the Tahara for the 9th baby, so then it can't be going to the Tahara for the other baby. That's the Pchina of Tevel Mishar B'yam. So big chidush. The Rabbi is masig on that Rambam, if I'm not mistaken. The Rabbi in Mechusik Kapar says he doesn't understand. Why not? Why can't I drink Kapar in the middle of this Malos for a previous baby? Because Malos is over already. What has this got to do with that? But the Rambam is quoting straight from the Yerushalmi. This time the Rambam is innocent. Usually the Shver Rambams are the Rambam's fault. Here it's not the Rambam's fault. Just quoting a Yerushalmi. Just quoting what it says. There are 3 sheetahs of Rishonim on that brisa. If the Yikar Azab Mizobo, Velo Minigo, even though he's still a Mitzori, he can still count Shivanikiyim. So one opinion of Rishonim is that's as far as it goes. He can only count Shivanikiyim, but he cannot be Tevel in the Mikvah. Second sheet is no, he can even be Tevel in the Mikvah, but he cannot bring Karbanos. He cannot bring Karbanos, because he's still a Mitzora. Mitzora is an Av HaTumah. It's quite a level HaTumah, you're telling the Mikvah. So when he did the Rambam right, he did not allow a person who was an Av HaTumah because of the Tumah Yotam and the Gufay to send to be Mishalech Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. Of course he can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. He can't even walk into Yerushalayim. Of course he's not going to walk in. But the question is, you won't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say a person lives in New York and he's Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig. So he'll call someone up in Yerushalayim and tell him to bring a carbon, and he's B'yet. You can be Mishalech Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. You don't necessarily have to go in person. The Mishnah says, you can talk about a man as a shliach to bring Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishalech was left behind. Is he allowed to bring the Chatos? Or does he have to be concerned? Maybe the Mishalech died and it's a Chatos and Mesa by Baal and it's a Misa Ozma. The Mishnah says, and that's not the Cheskas Shehu Kayo. You can bring, just like you can give the get, the Cheskas that the husband is still alive. So you can bring the Karbanos, the Cheskas that the Bala Karban is still alive. You have the right to Shtavan Chazor. So there is such an institution as being Mishalech Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Rambam writes, but it doesn't work by one who has the level of an Av HaTumah of Yotza Olam Migufa. The fellow is a Mitzor over here. He cannot be Mishalech Karbanos for the Tumah Ziva. Taisus, in the end of Nida, has a 3rd sheet in that Brisa when it says, Sof, Chiyita Raza Mizovo, Mizovo, Velo Minigo, that even though he's still a Mitzor, he can count Shivanikim, he can be Tevel in the Mikveh to remove the Tumah Ziva, and he can even be Mishalech the Karbanos to be mashlim the Gemar, the Mechusir Kapar, to be mashlim the Gemar HaTahara for the Ziva, and now he'll only be coming because of the Tumas HaTahara that he has. Taisus is not curious any of this thing about Tevel L'Sheret B'yom. Taisus has no problems at all. Those are the 3 sheikahs. 3 sheikahs on the Drasha, the people are Zab Mizobo, Mizobo, Velo Mizigon. There are several differences between the Tumas Magra and the Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufa. We just mentioned one, but again, the Shiruach Machnas, the Imam Sofen, and Sama Vav draws that distinction, that one is a Tumah Tumas Magra, because he touched the Sheret, or he touched the Mace, or he touched a person who's a Zav, or a Zav, an Idia, or Yoledis, a Mitzora. So that person is a Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufa, Tumas Riyah, but I touched him, so I only have a Tumas Magra. So one who has a Tumas Magra, one who is Mekabel Tumah Mibachutz, that they didn't develop on himself, is only Mishtaleh Chutz Le Machne Shechina. one that has a tumah yotzal miguf that developed in him, that's a tumas riyah. The tumas riyah is also the machna maviyah. It's also entering into the whole harabai. So that's one difference between the two. The Gemara has other differences. Tosfos' opinion in several places is that when you say that a korban shezmana kavua, korban tzibur, is zeicha tumah, so Tosfos' shita is that it's only zeicha tumas mago, it's not zeicha tumah yotzal migufa. Tosfos holds it's zeicha all tumas mago. Zeicha all tumas mago, but it's not zeicha any of the tumas yotzal migufa. The Rambam does not agree with Tosfos. The Rambam shita is that when you have korbanus shezmana kavua, korban tzibur, that's zeicha tumah, it's not even deicha all tumas maga. It's only deicha tumas meis. If you have a tumas maga hazav, other magas, it's not deicha. Only maga hameis. This is a distinction between tumas maga and tumas yotzor. The Ramishnayis, which indicate the Feirish, that the Kololi have stock of Sophic Tumah Bishus Hayochit versus Bishus Harabim, the Sophic Tumah Bishus Hayochit Sveika Tomei, Sophic Tumah Bishus Harabim Sveika Tohor, and you don't follow the normal stocking of Sveika Deraisa Lukuma, Sveika Deraisa Lukuma. Especially, everything is different here. Even a Sveika, if it's Bishus Hayochit, is Lukuma, and even one Sophic, if it's Bishus Harabim, is Lukuma. So there are Mishnais which indicate explicitly that these Kololi have stock of Sophic Tumah Bishus Hayochit, Bishus Harabim, do not apply to a mitzora. By mitzora, we have other rules and regulations. So Taisus raises the question, why not? So Taisus has two opinions. So one day in Taisus is that the Kololei Hapsak don't apply to any Tumas Maga, any Tumas Riyah. The Kololei Hapsak of Sofik Tumah Bishus Hayochit versus Bishus Harabim only apply to a case where it's Tumas Maga. So all cases of Tumah Yotam Migufa, what we call the Tumas Riyo, is Kololei Hapsak will not apply. The other day in case said that it's not true, but since Molokama, Dr. Dalar has one opinion, in case it's Nida in the first half, in case it's a Nazir, a few places raise the issue. Molokama, the Sheikh, the basis of the Greek, and the basis of Dr. Dalar, Hashil Yashiyot Samitzosam. So it's a big mark like this. Some Rishonim say, the only thing you see the version of Mishnah is in the way of the Sora, the Kololei Hapsak don't apply. It doesn't take explicitly by Zabzab or either your letters. It only says it by Mitzora. So one opinion of Taisus is, once it says it by Mitzora, it means that that whole category of Tumah Yotzal and Migufoi, the Kololei Hapsak don't apply. The other thing Taisus is, no, it's only by Mitzora. By all the others, by Zabzab and either your letters, even though it's only Tumah, even though it's a Tumas Riyah, it's the same as Tumas Maga. I still say that the Kololei Hapsak of Sofik Tumah Bishus Hayochit versus Bishus Harabim do apply. Why should I say that by Mitzora is different? What's the mockum to distinguish that only by Mitzora do the rules of Sofik Tumah Bishus Hayochit versus Bishus Harabim not apply? What is unique to Mitzora? So I'll be cautious in the stomach. What you have to say is the following. That's what it says in the main Haftarah. The Rambam wrote a Hakdomah, this Jewish Mishnah in the state of Paris. Never printed a long Hakdomah, where he runs through all of the Kololei, he gives you the Alma. There was a certain scholar, from the Maskilim, he made a comment on that Hakdomah, the Rambam, to the state of Paris, that if that's the only thing that we would have had left from the Rambam, we wouldn't have had any of the Arach Hazok, we wouldn't have had the rest of the Jewish Mishnah, nothing else, no more in the Buchim. We would have known that he was one of the greatest Rishonim who ever lived. You can tell that's what he thought. You can tell from that Hakdamah to Seder Zeroyim, to Seder Taris, that it's so all-encompassing. That he lines everything up. The others with the Tovus and all the different categories of Tumah, all the different types of Tumah. Anyway, so there's one of the Gedolim who lived 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, wrote a commentary on that Hakdamas HaRambam, the Seder Taris. That's called the Sefer Main Afer. There's another Main Afer on Masechet Yevamos by somebody else. Also a wonderful Sefer, but it's not this one. This Main Aftarach, Rav Soloveitchik said, Rav Chaim used to use this Main Aftarach. The author of the Main Aftarach wrote a chibur on Kalim, Amishnais Kalim, Amishnais Aholos, which is printed. Some of it is printed on the side of it on the Shas, in tiny letters, on the side of the Mishnais. This, the main Aftarach, is not printed at the sign of the commentary on Hakdamas HaRambam, that's a separate thing. So the main Aftayach explains in his one place in the Kutnah. So on one note, the whole category of Tumah Yosel Megufa is different. And the other day, he says, no, it's only by Mitzorah. Why? So he explains very well. The Mitzorah does not become Tameh automatically. The Kohen has to declare. The Timoh HaKohen. And then when he gets cured, he can't just become cured on his own and the Tevel and the Mikvah and bring the Karbanis. The Kohen has to declare that you are hereby declared as a Tahar. The Tumah, the Tahara of the Mitzorah are dependent on the Pesach of the Kohen. Mishnah, he said, the Kohen doesn't have to be such a big Talmud Chacham, even if he doesn't know the Deen. If he has a rabbi who doesn't have to be a Kohen, the rabbi can tell him, say Tahar. Just take my word for it, say Tahar and it's okay. And he says Tahar, he says Tamei, the rabbi tells him, say Tamei, and it'll be Tamei. So he says Tamei, so that's good. Indeed, the Pesach has to be declared by the Kohen, but it doesn't have to. The Cheshbon of the Pesach can be ghostwritten by a non-Kohen. You can have a Talmud Chacham who knows the Deen and work out the Shaila. Just tell a Kohen the moron, say Tahar and he'll be Tahar, say Tahar and he'll be Tahar. That's what the Mishnah describes. So the main Afer points out that when you speak of a Safik Tumah, b'shusayachah, a Safik Tumah means that there's two Tadeh HaSafik. One side of Safik is maybe Tahar or maybe Tumah. So that's called a Safik Tumah. One side of the Safik is a Tumah. By the Mitzorah, those are not the two Tzadari HaSafik. Let's have a Safik if he's Tamei or not. There's no Safik. For sure he's not Tamei. The Safik is the Nian Tahar, and there's no mitzvah to declare him as Tamei, or is he Tahar, and there is a mitzvah to declare him as Tamei. So that's a Safik mitzvah. That's not a Safik Tumah. The only time he called it a Safik Tumah, the same thing, let's say the Mitzorah was healed, and he got better. So what are you going to say? And there's a suffix whether he should be declared as Tahar or not. So you're going to say, well, there's a suffix whether he's Tamei, a suffix whether he's Tahar. No, he absolutely for sure is Tamei. The only suffix is he Tamei we have a mitzvah to declare him as Tahar? Or is he Tamei we don't have a mitzvah to declare him as Tahar? He said, that's not called a suffix Tumah. He said, the only time that day in place, the only time you call it a suffix Tumah is when the two study has suffix are Tamei or Tahar. But here, the both study him are Tamei, but both study him are Tahar. That's not called a Safik Tumah. Could be. It could be. It should depend what the nature of the Safik is. Okay. And I cannot. Could be. The Gemara has another, there are many more distinctions. There's another distinction between the Tumas Mag and the Tumah Yatzal of Igufoy with respect to eating Tumah. A Tumah is not permitted to eat Tumah. So if you're dealing with Tumah Deraisa, so the halacha does not distinguish between the various names. No Tumah is allowed to eat Tumah Deraisa, but if it's only a Chavas Chutz La'aretz, it's only a Tumah Chutz La'aretz, and the Gemara says the famous, a Tumah Chutz La'aretz is mutter to be, may be eaten by one who only has a Tumah Magla. He's only forbidden to eat Tumah Chutz La'aretz, a Chavas Chutz La'aretz, Misha Tumah Yotza all of Migufoy. Only if he has a Tumas Riyah. Then one Nachminus also. Taisus indeed, there has more Nachminus between a Tumas Riyah as opposed to a Tumas Magal. First parak in Chagiga quotes a braisa, which is really a Mishnah. It more quotes Tanya, but it's really a Mishnah in Goyim. On the side of the daf, they tell you where the Mishnah is and the Mishnah is in Goyim. Commenting, the braisa is commenting on the Lashon HaPasuk to Biyom Hera Oso El HaKohen. What does it say? Biyom Hera Oso? So the braisa, the Tanoim, made a comment, Yesh Yom Shatarayin Goyim, Yesh Yom Shiyatarayin Goyim. We're not open for business every day of the week. Some days we close the office. We don't allow the client to look at the going. Which days are those? So the Gemara, so the Mishnah says that on Yom Tovim or Rachosim, when there's a mitzvah of Simcha, so you're going to tell him to go to the coin if he has a negative tzarah. So it calls man that the coin doesn't declare that his tummy is going to be torn. So you're going to tell him that he has an obligation to go appear in front of the coin to decide whether he's going to be declared as tummy or to remain torn. So that's already agonizing, that he has to be nervous about it. So the Mishnah says that on Yontif, you'll let him wait till after the whole Yontif is over, and the same thing should be seen on Mishnah, because Kozman that he's not declared his tummy, he remains torn. Let's say somebody today has a negative tzaraas. No coin is going to declare him his tummy. So he'll remain torn for the rest of his life. Kozman that the coin does not declare him his tummy, he remains torn. It's interesting, because Anish points out that people are going, why do you need a Mishnah that tells you that you're allowed to postpone? The Gemara there discusses, are you allowed to postpone Rias Negoin for Advar Harshus also? Or are you only permitted to postpone for the sake of Advar Mitzvah? That's it sounds, the Gemara discusses it a little bit over there. So the Chazanish says it would appear from this whole discussion in that sugya in the first parak in Chagigah, on that Ches or so, it would appear that Stam to postpone Mitzvah is not permissible. Not a lot of postponements. That's the whole issue of birth control. Let's say a boy becomes bar mitzvah, he's obligated to perform all the mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs is peer review. So the day he becomes bar mitzvah, he has to start working on a peer review. He doesn't have a wife yet. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Yovis that we give him a break. Even though Ben Yud Gimel the mitzvahs, we say Ben Yud Ches Lechupeh. We give him 5 years to learn a little bit. That's the first Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer says that we give him 5 years to learn a little bit. The Torah doesn't expect that he should perform all of the mitzvahs on the day that he becomes by mitzvah. The Gemara says, Eloshen HaKidushin, in the end of the first parak. How can you demand of the child that he should get married? You're not going to come to have a baby before he gets married. Who's going to take care of the child? He has to get married, he has to make a panosa, he has to support the child in order to educate. The mitzvah period is not just to populate the world with babies. It's in order to transmit the chinuch, a Torah chinuch to the children. If you're not going to raise them as Jewish students, and they're not yet to the period of living, that's understood. The child has to learn Torah a little bit. So the Chachamim will convey that we give him 5 years. From the time of Bar Mitzvah to the age of 18, we give him 5 years. A lot of people that we know at the age of 18 still don't know how to learn. So we give them a little older. Give them a little longer that they should learn a little bit. But let's say the person already has learned. He already knows how to learn. He's learned as much as he's going to learn. He's not going to strike so much if he gets married, he'll learn more. Fine. The person learns Torah, Zechat to Moha. The person that gets married, the Gemara says, Zechat to Moha, Slav and learn. So let's say the person already learned. Fine. So let him go get married. So he has to find the right girl. He can't just come to go out on a blind date and get engaged to the girl. Go propose to the girl. Has to be a girl that is going to have shalom bayis with the girl. The child won't be left with divorced parents. You want the child to have a father and a mother, a normal chinuch, want to have a normal situation. So he has to find the right girl. So let's say God helps him and he found the right girl. So then he should get married as soon as possible. He has to rent a hall. Okay? He has to rent a hall. Take a couple of weeks, whatever, and you rent the hall and then you get married. But if you already picked out the right girl, you already have the hall. So then what are they waiting right to know? They have to do this, they have to do that. They're not prepared to have children yet. So that's not right. Once the person already has the right girl, and he thinks that there's going to be shalom bayis, he thinks he guesses as long as anybody else has guessed, how he's going to know he's going to wait 10 years to see if he's going to have shalom bayis and then decide to have children. So it looks like he's going to be shalom bayis. He's supposed to have the children right away. It's not proper to postpone the mitzvah for no good reason. That's the Chazon Ish discussion in connection with postponing the Rias Negoyim. It's interesting, the Tana and the Mishnah puts together Regel, that the Regel, the person has a right to postpone Rias Negoyim. The Yom Heira also, Alatan Yesh Yom Shat Rias Negoyim, Yesh Yomim She'en At Rias Negoyim. So the Tana puts together Regel with the Shivas in the Mishnah. Are the Shivas in HaMishta Din Simcha De Raisa, or is it only the Rabbanon? That's the question. So Tesis assumes the Dabar Pashut that Shiva's Me'an Mishta, the Tzimchas Tosin is only the Rabban. And based on that assumption, Tesis had a cash against the Baal Halachas Gedolos. But Avelus and the Avelus in Rishon is the Raisa, the Bahag holds, and the Yantam Shemesh Shogol is only the Rabbanon. So he has a Chiddush, the Bahag has a Chiddush, the Rambam and the Rit and the Mechaber Paschal like the Bahag. But a Togres Mesa, the Yantam Shemesh Shogol is on the last day of Yantam, has to observe Avelus, Yom Rishon on the last day of Yantam. And the Rambam says we don't Paschal like that Mechaber, because we hold that all Avelus is all the Rabbanon. But the Mechaber holds that Avelus in Rishon is the Raisa, and it's better Yantam Shemesh the Rabbanon, because Bahag has a Klal, he postulates a rule. Not shaykh is leinikam ha'yomer that a mitzvah derabbanon should be derech a mitzvah derais. If Avelus Yom Rishon is derais, and Yom Rishon Shavuot is only derabbanon, derais is always derech a derabbanon. The Tesis has a lot of kashas against the Bahag. One of them is from this din. The Gemara has in the Mishnah, Mishnah is had in the Goyim that he's supposed to be wearing the Goyim immediately, but if he's a chassan, so you give him all 7 days. And then you only write in the garden later. So why do you give him all 7 days? Because in the mitzvah of Simchas Chasim, you don't want to stare, you don't want to interfere with his Simchas Chasim. Through the whole institution of Simchas Chasim, that is the truth of the whole kosher. It's only the Rabbah. So why do you give him? Why do you give him 7 days? So see, the mitzvah, the Rabbah, you can be there, it's not mitzvah, they rise. So the few rise, the time that against the Baal HaRabba Buddha. So the Mishkan is Yankim, rise, in response to that is his kasher. Doesn't see what the hekach is to assume that Shiva's in that Mishnah is only Rabbanon. Not Rabbanon. But this Mishnah would appear that it will be the regular, just like regular, there's a mitzvah simcha min haTorah. So maybe by Kosan also there's a mitzvah simcha min haTorah. The Gemara has a little more, not just that if you'll be Royas HaNigoyim, it'll share his simcha. The Gemara has more than that. The Gemara assumes that the observance of the Nihugei HaMetzora, the God of Yifrum and Rosh Yifarub, Asof HaMiyata, he has to have the God in Kului. He's not allowed to cut his hair. Rosh Yifarua, there's a machlokes satanai, what that means. Rosh Yifarua means that he's also the Tiglachas, that means that he has to have his head covered. Asof HaMiyata means he has to have a Pifas HaRosh. But the Yeshiva Chutz L'machan by Shov, all of these Hanhovis of the Mitzorah is Mishtaleh Chutz L'Sholosh Machnos. So the Gemara assumes that these Hanhovis constitute a Hanhoga of Avelus. And the Gemara has a suffix in the beginning of Elam Megalchen whether we know that one is an Avelus, does not observe Shiva on Yontif. What about in one who is a Mitzorah? Does he have to observe his Nihugi Tzoras Beregel or not? Maybe the observance of the Nehugi Tzaraas are a kiyam of Avelus. The person is in the state of Avelus for himself. Interesting. A Metzora is considered like a mace. So he is an Avelus for himself. That's how the Chachamim understood the Din Deraisin. We Paskin, there are more Paskins that all Avelus is only the Rabbanon, even Avelus Yom Rishon is only the Rabbanon. According to the Bahag and the Shita Sagonim and the Rambam and the Rif and the Mechaber, Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisin. So Avelus Yom Rishon is Deraisin. Some of the Rabbanon, they extended the Avelus from the first day to 7 days, and then they took some of them, they extended it for 30 days, fine, that's the Rabbanon, but it's all came the Raisa of the Avelus and Rishon, where all of the Dinim of Shiva are the Raisa, according to the Rambam, and the Rif, and the Mechaber, and the Shita Sagrenim. But according to the Ramah, there is no Avelus the Raisa at all. It's Mamish, the Chachamim invented it. Yesh Meyayin, Mamish, from Finir, they kicked up in Yonim of Avelus. What is it? Where is the call to kick Rabbanon came the Raisa people? So you look at the Gemara. The Gemara understands the Farish that the Nehugim of the Mitzorah are the Taurus Avelus. The God of Yifurumim, Barosh Yifarul, Asaf Amiyata, these are all, and Chalitza, that the Yivama does, Chalitza, that's done. Also, the Rishayim understand that Pasuk and Chumash is being also Nihugav Nidui. That the fellows that have his shoes taken off, the Yivama removes the shoe of the Yivam to demonstrate that he deserves Nidui. You good for nothing, that you didn't want to do Yibum. Lahokim, Loyrotza, he doesn't want to be miyabim his sister, he doesn't want to be making shame liyachiv, so that's an adla gedola, so he really deserves nidui. So his yetzer, his nidui, one is in a state of nidui, has to observe certain nidui avelus again. A menudah is choshev kemeis. Nidui means a curse that the chachamim put on a person that he should die. So the one who's the menudah, the one who's in cherem, has to observe avelus on himself. That's what all the nehugei nidui and cherem are all about. It's a nehugei avelus on the person himself who's choshev kemeis. So where do you have any nidui that's the raisa? Is the dinam, are the dinam of nidui and chayim the raisa? It's a big machlokes of rishonim. Is it the raisa the rabbanim? So here the rishonim point out at least that one aspect of nidui is a pasuk. That's the pasuk of chalitza. That one who's menuda, one who deserves to be menuda, has to take off his shoes. So the Chachamim, when they were masaking, the laws of Shiva, all the laws of Avelis, did pattern all of these dinim after the dinim deraisa. Some of the dinim deraisa appear here by the Mitzora, the Hanhogas of the Mitzora, and the others appear in other places, namely the Chalitza that's required by the Yavam who refuses to do the Yibam. So that's also a form of Nihug Avelis, that the one who deserves Nidui has to observe Avelis for himself. Want to show halacha l'maisa? Where does it say it? The Beirish that he observed which din? The Torah doesn't observe all of the din. Yes. Some of them are patterned under the Torah. Others not. Others are not patterned under the Torah. But the Gemara says the Beirish that the nihugim of the Mitzora or nihugim of Avelis. That the Gemara had a suffix whether the Mitzora has to observe. Mitzvah Mashin and Tzarat of a regal. We know that Avelis is not observed or regal, because regal and Avelis is a part of the Sasri. Avelis means the opposite of Simcha. So Gemara has a suffix whether the Mitzvah is not Gabi Luther Bregel. Gemara says yes. But it says in the Chumash, V'Hatzarua, Ashebo HaNega, because of you, Furum and Roshi, Faruah, etc. V'Hatzarua, so the Chachamim Darshan, on that Pesach, Gemara in my cotton, quotes the Drosha from the Torah Tanit. The Hatzarua is the Rapis of Hakkan Gov. How exactly do you see from the word the Hatzarua? I don't know. That's the Drosha Sagamar. The Hatzarua, Shabbat Nega, the Rapis Kain Gov. So the Gemara says the Kain Gov Kol Hashana is Kisor Baregel Gov. The Kain Gov all year long has a status. He's always in the state of Simcha. He never observes any Avelos. Because he's always in the Beis HaMikdash, Lichnei Hashem. So by him all year long is considered like Shabbat Shagom, like a Yantin. And nonetheless, he has to observe the Avelis of Mitzora, so that's the proof that everyone who has to observe, anyone who is a Mitzora, has to observe the Avelis, even Beregel. There is even a Machlokes there, when the Gemara had the suffix, whether the Mitzora is Noig Avelusa, whether the Mitzora is Noig Nihugo, Beregel or not, because it's a Nihug of Avelis and it's attached to the Sasmat Rech, the Gemara came to the conclusion that he does observe. They point to the Havamin of the Gemara, that said that he should not observe it, what aspects of Avelis, what aspects of the Nihuge Hatzaras will we misufik about? So the, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi and that Gemara might cost and wants to know whether the Mitzora is Mishtaleach puts L'Sholosh Machnos Beregel. Maybe he's Mutalov al Tach HaMachna Beregel. The Ritva disagrees, if I'm not mistaken, the Ritva disagrees with Rashi and says, God, that's out of the question. The fact that he's mishtaleach chutz l'machaneh, that's because of the fact that he's a tumah. So the tumah he certainly has. That's not one of the nihugim of the mitzora b'teres avelos. The nihugim b'teres avelos, God of Yifrumim, Rosh Yifarua, Asafam Yata, Tifa Sarosh. That's the avelos aspect that the mitzora has. But mechutz l'machaneh ma'ishavay, the shiluach tmeim, that's b'teres tumah. So tumah he is on Yom Tov also. And Rashi understood not so. Rashi understood that even the fact that he's mishtaleach chutz l'sholosh machaneh, the fact that he's Mishtalei Chutz Laharabayis, that's like any Tumah Yotzal Megufa, he's also Lava Laharabayis. But the Mitzvah is even prohibited to enter into Yerushalayim or all other Yerushalayim Kavs Chamer Rishut and Nulim. So what's added on over here? So Rashi holds that that addition, that is even also Lava Tach HaMachna, that's Bitaris Nihu Gavelus. So that was the Gemara Sofik, but the Mitzvah Noe Gavilusa Beregel, maybe he's Mutal Lava Tach HaMachna. Not Mutal Lava Laharabayis, that's for sure not. Maybe he's Mutal Lava Al Tach HaMachna. Others tied it against Rashi. What do you mean? The Mitzvah is also love Al Tach HaMachna because it's a contagious disease. So the regular is also going to be a contagious disease. That's the reason why he's also love Al Tach HaMachna. So you see the Rashi holds not so. The reason why he's Mishtalei Chutz L'Sholos Machna is because of the Nihug Avelos. It's not because of the fact that it's a contagious disease. You know, it's Poshet Yivaya from the Hatzarua, the Rabbis Tangon. But even though Kangodl has the status all year long, he's all Barego Dhammi, nonetheless, he has the Nihugi Avelos, not Surah Shabbat Negev, not only that the Kangodl could be declared as a mitzora. That's a double question. Of course, it can be declared as a mitzora. But the Rosh Hashanah negab gadim yufrum and Rosh Yir farua. He has to have the nihugi avelus. All of the nihugi avelus, including the shiduach min amachna hashlishis, even the shiduach machna from Yerushalayim and all our yoros hamukavus chaimah, which is clearly not the Torah shiduach tmeim. Torah shiduach tmeim is only shtei machnas. It's a tumah yotzal mukuf shtei machnas. So Rashi also is not even the Torah's contagious disease. It's not because of the fact that it's a contagious disease. Maybe it is a contagious disease. Maybe it's not a contagious disease, but it has nothing to do with that. It's a nihu gavavel. It's an extreme nihu gavavel. So that was the raya that this nihu gavavel even applies barega, because it applies to the kangol. Biskirov has a fascinating comment in the Sefer HaKumish. The Pasuk talks about HaKoyin HaMetaher, Parshas Mitzora. Emin HaKoyin HaMetaher, Eso Isha Mitaher. What kind of a Russian is that, HaKoyin HaMetaher? So he says it's not the regular din of Koyin and Kol HaTorah Kulo. It's a special din of Koyin. The Koyin who declares his Tomei, the Koyin who declares his Tohar, is a special din of Koyin. He writes one nafkamina, but the Gemara really has another nafkamina. He writes a nafkamina, the din is that a kohen who's a cholo. So the din is b'diyevet, kohen a cholo sh'avad, b'diyevet is abedos ha'ksheir. So what would be the din over here? Let's say the kohen declared as tame, or the declared as tohar, and then later on we come to the realization that this kohen was really a cholo. But would we say that just like the Gabi HaKrovis Karbonis, b'diyevet, kohen sh'avad, abedos ha'ksheir, here too, but the Eved, the declaration of Tumma, the declaration of Tara would be Chal, or would you say that not? But Adobala thought that that any Makar, Adobala thought that it should not apply over you. It's a special din, HaKoin HaMetaher, the Koin HaMetameh, it has to be a real coin. That Chidish din, that the Eved, Avedis HaCholom, is acceptable, is kosher, perhaps should not apply here. What more, Adobala was, he thought maybe to say such a Chidish din. It's a Gemara in Zochem Nova Ferish. Like Rav Elbala's idea, but it's not the same as the regular Dinim of Kuna. The Gemara has a comment around Rav Kuf. The Gemara discusses that Miriam became Tzaraas, who declared her, who was Mazgir her, and who was Metaher her. Who declared her as Tomi, who declared her as Tohar. So the Gemara says, should Moshe Rabbeinu declare her as Tomei? It's not a coin. That must have been done by Aharon. Aharon was the coin. That's a price in the Gemara. The Gemara has a machloekes Tanaim, whether a Korayim, one is a relative, is a coin allowed to pass him, Tumla Vitar, machloekes Tanaim in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says there was no choice, there was nobody else around. So obviously Aaron had to do it. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean that coin, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a coin, that's why he couldn't be machloek, he couldn't declare Tomei or Tohar, and his sister Miriam, but there's one opinion in the Gemara there, that's Sugya and that's cool. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Kohen Gadol Hoya. He had the status of a Kohen Gadol. What that means exactly is a question. He did, Moshe Rabbeinu did the HaKrovis HaKabonis in the Shivas in the Amilui. Moshe Rabbeinu did the HaKrovis. Aaron HaKohen, the first time he did HaKrovis HaKabonis was on the Chodesh Nisan, on the Shmini Limilui. But the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu was doing that way. So you see that he had the din that he was kosher to do Avodah. Where do you see that he was a Kohen Gadol? That's the question. How did the Gemara see that he had the status of a Kohen Gadol? That's a problem. Soloveitchik used to be fond of saying that the Chachamim had a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu had every position of minui possible. Because he was the Gadol Ador, so the Gadol Ador has to have every minui. He had the din melech. Whoever appointed him as a melech, what kind of din melech? No, since he was the Gadol Ador, so automatically he had the din melech. And if he's a lady or Esau, so he can't be a Kohen Gadol. But was a Kohen Gadol, right? He was doing the Avodah, and the Shiva Sinai Miluim. But the Gemara says, not only was he a Kohen, he was a Kohen Gadol. How do you see the Shiva Sinai Miluim? Wasn't he a Kippur? Who says that he had a status of a Kohen Gadol? No. So the Rav thought Kohen Gadol is a Srora. It's a Minui. It's an appointment to a high position. It's a title of honor and glory. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chacham had a tradition. Moshe Rabbeinu had to have all the Minuim that are humanly possible. Can't appoint him as president of Yeshiva University. Didn't believe in Torah Mada. It wasn't Yeshiva University, whatever. But whatever Sroda was possible, so Moshe Rabbeinu had that Sroda. So the Gemara asks, so if Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol Hoya, so what do you tell me that Moshe wasn't a Kohen and he couldn't declare his sister Miriam as Tmeo or Tahora? What do you mean he was a Kohen? He was even a Kohen Gadol. Morris answers no. I think it's in Zvachman on Daf Kuf Beis. And Morris says no. Ara Nevana Ksuv in the Parsha. Because it says, if you have a Negat Saras, Avu Ala Aaron HaKohen, Avu Ala Chad Nivonav HaKohanim, etc. So why does it say Ara Nevanov? Only Ara Nevanov, to the exclusion of any other Kohanim. There aren't any other Kohanim. Morris says no. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din Kohen only LaHakrovis Kavonis. Not to negate the Mias Midrash. So that Gemara sounds like what Rav Elbelo was driving at. He wanted to say that it's a different din koyin than get to Rias Nagoyin from the din koyin than get to Akrovus Kabbalah. So Rabbi wanted to say that Kabbalah for Cholo, that the Yevit over here would not be good. Maybe only by Kabbalah it would be good to the Yevit. The end of Parshas in the Tzorah, the Chumash makes it clear that there are two ways for a person to, who is coming to become Torah. Either they're being tovel in a mikveh or being tovel in a mayon. These are two different things, not the same thing. Zav requires daf ki mayon chayim. A zav has to have mayon. Where else do you need a mayon? May nida. Mayon chayim el keli. When you make the paraduma, the part of the process of doing paraduma, you need mayon chayim. That's from a mayon. But all other tamein don't need a mind. There are Rashi's and Shas. Rashi quotes the opinion of the Ramban and Chumash at the end of Parshas, and so it quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoyim that a Zova needs mind chaim also. Just like a Zav needs mind chaim, a Zova needs mind chaim. So the Ramban and Chumash says that it's dead wrong, that the Sefta Megillah that says the Feirish not so. And all the listings of the Ein Bains, the Sefta makes a distinction between a Zav and a Zova. It says, Ein Bain Zav and a Zova Elish, a Zav from mind chaim, a Zova, ain't it to the mind chaim. The Beferish Azava does not mean Manchaim. This is very crucial. Rashi on the Gemara quotes this around 6 or 7 times in Shas. So after the time Rashi quotes this and he says it's wrong, because it's against the Pesefta and Megillah, that same Pesefta that's Ramban and Chumash quote, the end of Parshas and Mitzorah. And after the time Rashi quotes it with no comment. He just quotes it and he leaves it like that, as if that were a legitimate sheet. This is very relevant to Halacha L'maaseh for us, because the Gemara quotes in the end of Nida that Rabbi Yudanas made a takana, and you treat all of the women today, all the married women are treated as a suffix, nida, suffix, zava. But the woman is treated, that's why she needs shivinikim, and nida doesn't need shivinikim, only a zava needs shivinikim. So if the woman is treated as a suffix, zava, and you're going to tell me that a zava needs mein chayim, then a mikveh on Broadway is not good. That's not mein chayim. Because it's plain mein mikveh. It's from rainwater. Mein chayim means from under the ground sources, that the water flows from under the ground. Those mikvehs are cleaner. The mikveh, Yal Chassidim in Mansi, other places where they have a mayon, they don't have a mikveh. So those mikvehs are much healthier. The people who used it before may have had all kinds of diseases, that the germs are going into the water, but that water keeps on changing. So that the mayon is much better. But halacha l'maaseh, we pass that a mikveh is also good. What's the difference halacha l'maaseh between a mayon and a mikveh? The source. Is it may yishamim, may shlogim? Is it may have shara shlogim? Or is it from underground sources that the water is flowing? So there are a few, there's one Achkimina for Azab, Azab means Zavki Mankheim. There's one Achkimina we just had when we were learning about Chanin is Gana Kohen. Do you need Mem Sor? In HaTorah, Tvilas Kli only requires a mikvah of a Revi'ez mind. But with the Rabbanan, you need Mem Sor. That woman with the Rabbanan, Tos points out, was only instituted by mikvah, was never instituted by a Maya. So a Mayan, even Halacha L'maaseh, a Mayan is Metahir, Kalim, the Tafas Mimem Sur. There's even an opinion in Rishonim that a Mayan is Metahir Odom, the Tafas Mimem Sur. You don't even need Arbaim Sur for Tfilas Odom in a Mayan. But that's disputed. We're not makel like that. We hold that you need Arbaim Sur in a Torah by a Mayan for Tfilas Odom. That's a different shot. Whether the din of Mem Sur is required by a Mayan for the purpose of Tfilas Odom or not. The Rajbo and the Teres Abayis, on the first page in the Rajbo and Teres Abayis and Hilchas Mikvoyes, he quotes a Gematria, a remez, to show that we pass them that you do need Mem Sor for Tvila Sodom in a Mayon. In this Machloikis Arishayna, where the Mayon for Tvila Sodom, Mayon for Tvila Sodom does not need Mem Sor, but Mayon for Tvila Sodom are Machloikis. So the Rajbo quotes a Gematria as an indication. The Pasuk says, Mei Hashiloach HaHolchim Lo'ot. Shiloach was a mayon, a spring, on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Ha'ochim lo'ot is Lamed Aleph Tes, is the Gematria of 40. So he says, you see Beferish, that you need Memso. So Beferish and Kostas. You need Beferish, that you need Memso. Of course, one of the Balei HaTeis has brought that remnant. It's not a mocker. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that gematrios aparteros lachachma means that it's not a drushin. You can't darshan out any din from any gematria. And even the din that's written in the Mishnah, that stam yizirish loshem yom, and the Gemara says one opinion is that it's learned there from the gematria of Kodesh Yihyeh. Gadol teres harosha yihyeh, the gematria of plus and habi. The word yihyeh is 30. So the Rambam and the Ramban hold that that's only a remnant. That's not a real drush of yihyeh. That must have been a halachim rashi b'sinai, or a different source. That cannot be a source. You never learn out any din from a gematria. Gematria is just part of the
Rosh. So especially when brings a
that's not really a gematria, is it? It says he uses gematria not in the sense of numeric value. He says that it represents a different letter. Ach is chutz. That's not gematria. The word ach, it means the same as chutz. And chutz means you split the day in half. Huh? Yeah, code. It's possibly written in code. I don't know. So that's one difference. Whether you need the Memsah for Tfilas Kalim. In a Mayim, you don't need Memsah, the Mitzvah, you do need Memsah. Then there's another difference that the Mishnah has. What about Zeichlin? If you have Mei Gishamim, or you have Mei Hafshar Shlogim, the snow is melted, and they're rolling down the mountain. And then you have a big puddle on a certain level in the mountain, and a big puddle is formed because of the fact that the snows keep on melting, and there's always a big puddle over there. So if the water is flowing, so the Mishnayos have, that's called Chargalus, Shelkisham, Chargalus. And the Mishnayos and in the Tosefis, that refers to these puddles that form on the slopes of the mountains when the snows are melting, or Chargalus Shelkisham, when the rains are falling down. So that's Zeichman, that's not good for a Mikvah, but for a Mayan it's certainly good. A Mayan is only considered a Mayan when it's Zeichel. When the water is flowing, then it has the start. When it flows from under the ground sources, when the spring pops up and it starts flowing, then it has the din of mind. If it's not flowing, it's not going to have the din of mind. So these are usually assumed to be the two differences between a mikvah and a mayim, whether zechman is good or not, and whether memsah is required or not. These parshias have a million and one dinim on every pasuk. Many, many mishnayos dedicated to explaining between quite a few mishnayos. Okay, we'll stop here. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, I'm supposed to give a shiur on gambling. Anyone who wants to know how to gamble? Come 1 o'clock.
Okay. Where?
Where? Down the hall, I think.
It's a good bet for a good shiur.
Something like that. Yeah,
case of Pukhinaitis, I think. Thank you.